and welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, the host, and Phil Conlon is here. How are you doing, Phil?
Good afternoon, Phil.
And today we're going to talk about Syria and Cuba. In the latter part of the program, it'll be Keith Bolander, who is the author of Cuba Under Siege, most recently, and previously a very important book, Voices from the Other Side. And we're going to find out about this, the new Trump doctrine, I guess it is, about Cuba, allegedly reversing or terminating, is the word he liked to use. He's a Hollywood type, Trump. First of all, we'll be talking to Rick Sterling of SyriaSolidarityMovement.org because a U.S. War plane, if I understand it rightly, has shot down a Syrian plane. That's rather serious. Sounds to me like a serious development. I believe Rick Sterling is with us. Are you there, Rick?
Yes, I am, Phil.
Thank you very much for joining us. We're very glad to be talking to you, SyriaSolidarityMovement.org, because... first of all, it's always here, the failure of anybody to report anything. The Toronto Star has not reported the shooting down of the Syrian army jet, at least not in the print edition.
Right.
The Globe and Mail has it on page A7, and here's the operative paragraph, I guess. They only had three from – they took it from Reuters. Nothing – they didn't write anything themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based in Amman, and it says a U.S. warplane shot down a Syrian army jet on Sunday in the southern Raqqa countryside, with Washington saying the jet had dropped bombs near U.S.-backed forces, and Damascus saying the plane was down while flying a mission against Islamic State militants. Tell me, Rick, is this something we should all be worried about, and what is U.S. doing in Syria? It wasn't invited, was it?
Well, the U.S. is doing in Syria what they've been doing from the start, which is trying to overthrow the government while pretending they're not. And it just gets worse and worse. As they are losing the war, they keep upping the ante. So we had the first attack take place back in April where the U.S. launched the attack on the airbase near the city of Homs. And then there have been two attacks on Syrian ground forces in the past month, ground forces that were approaching an area near the border with Iraq. And the U.S. said that the Syrian forces were entering into a zone that they weren't supposed to go. And then now, just on yesterday, we have the U.S. shooting down a Syrian jet as it's attacking an ISIS contingent to the west of Raqqa at a town there. So it just gets worse and worse, and they're really playing chicken in a sense with the Syrians and the Russians as well, the Russian and Iranian allies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's any coincidence that hours after that attack that shot down the Syrian jet that was, as it was launching attacks on ISIS, from Iranian territory, Iran launched missiles that hit ISIS on the outskirts of Deir ez-Zor, which has been under siege by ISIS for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
But Iran is sending a message to the U.S. and Saudi Arabia that they can strike from Iranian territory. They can launch missiles, and they can, in this case, they wiped out a, they're claiming that they wiped out a munitions dump in an area where car bombs were being prepared.
Mm-hmm. This is, as you describe it, that's an incremental increase in escalation,
yes,
is the word I'm looking for.
Right. The U.S. has gone from supporting a proxy mm-hmm. terrorists, and then they claimed they were supporting moderate terrorists, but there's video. I mean, the evidence is just overwhelming that you've got video showing the so-called moderate terrorists who are saying they work with ISIS,
mm-hmm.
That ISIS are not bad, and we there are brothers. So you've got the U.S. going from supporting the proxy forces to now there are, and Obama said there would be no boots on the ground. Well, there are boots on the ground now. And then it's like every few weeks or every month, it just gets worse and worse. And you know, we're on an extremely slippery slope here. What happens when Russia or Syria shoots down a U.S. Jet?
The Holy of Holies.
Right. Suddenly, you know, that's unforgivable, despite the fact that they are flying in Syria without Syrian authorization. Just imagine what would happen if a foreign country took control of Washington State in the U.S. and then said the American Air Force could no longer fly there.
Yeah, that's the part that where we would like everybody. I know the work of SyriaSolidarityMovement.org is trying to get people to think about this.
Right.
Because everybody seems comfortable with the idea of the exceptional state, the superpower that doesn't have to obey laws.
But that
leads us to hell.
Right. And I think I want to put in a plug for Consortium News as well, because readers who are not aware of it, there is an outstanding online site run by Robert Perry, Consortium News. It's not the flashiest title, I would have to admit, but the quality of
the
information and analysis there is very good. Okay. Now, I don't know, Phil, did you hear that the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was testifying today at the National Press Club?
No.
So one of the journalists actually asked Dunford, this is General Joseph Dunford, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, asked him, what's the legal justification for shooting down a Syrian jet? And he said the authorization for the use of military force, the so-called AUMF, which was an authorization that goes back to, which happened after 9/11, which was an authorization to use force against Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan.
Yes.
So this is preposterous.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we've got an international rogue that is just says whatever it wants and is flouting international law blatantly.
Yeah.
And it's really necessary for more countries to speak up and say this is not permissible.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to drag us all into World War III.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to tell you that that voice won't come from Canada, because we have a foreign minister that is urging the U.S. to be more assertive and regrets that Trump is showing signs of isolationism. This would be an example, I suppose.
Right. Yeah. Sad. Well, the progressive forces in Canada really need to speak out, because Canada is a junior partner in this, and it's complicit up to its ears. And after that, the chemical weapons attack on April 4, Trudeau said there needs to be an investigation of this, and that was correct. There needed to be an investigation, and then you find out who's culpable. They didn't wait for the investigation. 2 days later, Trump launches the attack, and then Trudeau falls into line and says, okay, well, that's good.
Yes, that was the 48
really,
hours of a prime minister.
Yeah. Now is the time, and Trudeau's father, Pierre Trudeau, had some, you know, he actually had some courage and independence at points, and I think we have to recognize that difference. He did stand up despite the U.S. Wanting Canada to be more complicit and to stop allowing draft dodgers to come into Canada. Canada had a much more independent position then. I mean, they were still complicit in many ways, but it was. Of course, I grew up in Canada, so I know, I remember.
You speak, yes.
Yes, yeah, so, but it's really sad. You've got Dunford at the National Press Club today saying the legal justification is a 2001 resolution that allowed them to attack Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan.
Yeah, well, and we're speaking to Rick Sterling. I want to know about this. Since we do bring in other states, they used the words when they said that they had done this. The U.S. said that they were defending coalition or partner forces. I mean, this language is so obscure. By the way, I don't think it's clear in Canada whether Canada is part of the coalition, or if they are part, what are they doing?
Right.
You're right. I mean, people need to speak up, but the coalition, they call it, and then the partner forces. I take it, by the way, the partner forces they're referring to, that is actually a Kurdish militia, right?
Right. It's something that they set up, Kurdish, and there's Arab fighters as well, that they have basically cultivated, and they're coddling and trying to protect. And they basically want to capture areas of Syria from ISIS and to prevent the Syrian army from retaking those areas. That's what this is all about. The attack on the Syrian, the attack on the Syrians as they were approaching that border town of El Tanf, and the attack yesterday against the Syrian jet fighter to the west of Raqqa is to prevent the Syrian army from approaching Raqqa and also taking control of the highway to Deir ez-Zor. Yes. So this is really clear violation of international law. The U.S. is trying to prevent the Syrian army from expelling ISIS and taking control of its own territory.
Yeah.
So this is the infamous Plan B that Kerry spoke of, where they're going to try to bite off a big chunk of Syria and then have some puppet government there.
Yeah, but by the way, it would be very heavy lifting to try to keep it in power, even if they were to succeed in the short term.
Right.
By the way, I think you referenced today a very good article. Moon of Alabama has been analyzing this. And this does seem to be a result, actually, of success by the Syrian forces. And even on the diplomatic level, where they're closer and closer to actually having the necessary personnel at those talks to bring it all to a conclusion. So there is this kind of an air of desperation or bravado in what the U.S. is doing. Is this maybe a parting shot, or are they going to double down?
Well, I hope it's a parting shot, but it may not be. It may be just another escalation that takes us into full-scale international war there.
Yes.
There's more and more in the Israeli media about they have been active all along. The government in Tel Aviv have been active all along supporting the armed opposition and doing whatever they could to attack, sometimes with missiles, attack the Syrian government. But more and more it's in the media there. They're openly acknowledging that they are supporting the armed opposition.
I think there was a Wall Street Journal article today, right?
Yeah,
they're saying
exactly.
That they also funding them, giving them money.
Exactly, they're paying them. Well, that's the other thing, is that there's been this false information that it's all volunteers, it's all peaceful, democratic-loving protesters. That's been nonsense from the start. There's been a paid contingent there, salaries. And in fact, there was a Washington Post story even a few years ago, but that the U.S. was providing salaries. Mm-hmm. So they're basically mercenaries. You've got tens of thousands of foreigners who aren't even Syrians fighting there. And then it's like the Contra war against Nicaragua, magnified times 10.
Lastly, and again, I'll just tell everybody, this is Rick Sterling. I hope you read all. Rick has been writing about this very sharp articles for years, and he's with SyriaSolidarityMovement.org.
Yeah.
What about the most unstable government seems to be the American. How does that factor in? I mean, you have a Congress, I shouldn't say Congress, U.S. media is going crazy about removing the man, but the one thing they all seem to like is killing foreigners, but is that going to bring them together?
The sad thing is it's not stable when it gets to foreign policy. It's remarkably consistent. And they went crazy. Foreign Affairs had an article screaming that, oh, we're giving up the leadership of the world. And every other day there's articles exclaiming how tragic it is because the U.S. is not asserting itself as the world, as the leader of the free world. The deep state, basically the most influential powers in the U.S., the military-industrial complex, the intelligence agencies, the CIA from the Pentagon, and Wall Street, they really drive the show on foreign policy. It doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat or a Republican. The policy continues. And that's why the hysteria about Trump was because he ran on a campaign of changing foreign policy in that regard.
Speaking to Russians.
Right. He said, well, what are we doing in Syria fighting? Why don't we work with the Russians to deal with ISIS? And yes. Now what's happening more and more is the U.S. pretends to be fighting ISIS, but now they're they do that in a half-hearted way. And meanwhile, they are increasingly attacking the Syrian government forces. Mm-hmm. So it's a horrible, that crossing that red line in at the air base in Homs in April, and then in May you had them attack Syrian ground forces. Now you have them attacking Syrian air force, Syrian jet fighter.
Yes, and the Russians saying today, east of the Euphrates?
West
of the Euphrates. It will be tracked and will be removed if it's fine.
Right. You're right. East of the Euphrates, they're saying they're going to start. They're saying west of the Euphrates. So that's where the line they're drawing.
Yeah.
Because the Syrian plane that was shot down was west of the Euphrates.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That is, I'm sorry, I didn't introduce the Euphrates right away. It's the most famous. And that does seem to be the kind of, there's when you have wars, there's always a river, and anybody crosses, it's serious.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very, very dangerous, Phil, and I hope your listeners learn what they can, follow what they can. Moon of Alabama is a good one, moonofalabama.org. It's very informative, good analysis by the editor there, and Consortium News is excellent, very consistent.
Yeah, and yourself and SyriaSolidarityMovement.org. Rick Sterling, we're very grateful. Thank you for giving us the time.
Yeah, okay, yeah, good to be with you, Phil.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Rick Sterling, and as I just said, SyriaSolidarityMovement.org, and you better go to that site quickly, and also to Moon of Alabama and Consortium News, because as the item I read to you from the Globe, not very enlightening, particularly in terms of the menace it represents. When you have the nuclear-armed powers who have long-range missiles that actually hit things they aim at, you have to be awake. And in Canada, we need somebody to talk to the Prime Minister, to talk to the Foreign Minister, to see if we can get them to make sense down the road. Because there was allegedly an important speech given by Chrystia Freeland. That would be Michael Chomiak's granddaughter, and Chrystia loves her grandfather, and he was a Nazi collaborator, and we always want to remember that. So she gave a speech about foreign policy in which she said, we have to have Western leadership, we have to have rules, and sovereignty. She raised the issue of sovereignty. She only means sovereignty in one place. That would be her Ukraine, where she's also very active, spent a good part of her life actually being a leader there, or shooting her mouth off, putting it that way. And now she's our foreign minister. But this is a place where great powers are engaged, and one of them is there legally. That would be Russia. And the territory is a sovereign territory of Syria. So I haven't heard anything from Ms. Freeland about this. It should allegedly Canada has something to do with the coalition that shot down this plane. And if you were to think about the implications, assuming that that is an act of war, we all understand, even though it's a superpower and doesn't believe that it ever has to pay a price for doing such things, Canada's apparently part of the coalition. Depending on which minister is talking, you don't know if they're asleep in your bunk, if they have not turned out, or if they're at the head of the thing with a bayonet. We don't know. But you can't, for an opponent, they don't worry about whether you've figured out what your role is if you hit them. And so we're in a dangerous situation. And the foreign minister's speech to Parliament isn't worth the paper it's written on. She doesn't mean a word of it. She doesn't care about any of these things. And the prime minister probably cares less because it's not his job. He knows that somebody will tell him, and the phone will ring from Washington.